With us now is our trivia guru, Graham Donald. We're talking today about the origins of the names of the months. How are you, Graham?
I'm super. And yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Nice to chat with you. How have you been?
Oh, great, because it's about 3 months, isn't it?
Is it as long as that?
Yeah, I think the last time we did was November, and then I stood down for a few months, and so this is...
Well, great to have you back. Did you have a good Christmas and New Year and everything?
Quiet, you know.
Yes, it was a different one, wasn't it?
Isolated, you know, standing at the window with waving crucifixes as everyone came up the drive, you know.
Oh, dear. But you're okay.
Actually, yes, I'm fine.
Good.
But actually, that's good because I'm glad you brought that up, because before we begin, I do actually want to give a special shout-out for a chap called Milan Metha.
Mm-hmm.
And his team. They're not only are they new listeners to TRE, but they're setting up a new and dedicated vaccine centre in the northwest, UK northwest here.
Okay.
So great for them.
Brilliant.
Right, to
Brilliant.
Business.
So, yes, you thought it would be good to look at the months, the names
months.
Of the months and the origins
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously with the new year is well underway already, but as you can imagine, there's been a lot of messing around and shuffling with the order of the months in the year, certainly over the centuries, not least after the adoption of the Gregorian calendar in 1582. When the opening of the year shifted from April to January. January, look, the first year. Right, now this first appeared, the month of January was first noted in 713 BC, when both it and February were added to the 10-month Roman calendar, when January was then the last month of the year. So it was the doorway, if you like, to the new year, which is why it was named after Janus, the two-faced god who looked both backwards and forwards. He was the god of opportunity and doorways, hence the title of the janitor, who has the keys to all the doors in the building under their care. Now, you can still see the footprints of that old 10-month calendar, with September, October, November, and December having once been the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th month of the year, but now they're the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, you know, Sept, 7, Oct, 8.
Mm-hmm.
So the months have shunted around the calendar quite a lot. Now, February was a little bit kinky. This was named after Februa, which was the Latin for purification, because on the 14th and 15th, of that month, this month, it saw the festival of the Lupercalia. Now, the lower orders of the Roman state, they were called the proles because they were expected to be prolific. They were just there to increase the population, increase the productivity of the state and the military might. So women who failed to add to that pot were considered, a bit, anathema, basically, to the state. So on this festival, several goats were sacrificed and their hides cut into, you know, bloody strips, which were carried by young men or lads who ran naked through the streets of the city to whip all white childless women who stood equally naked in the streets to invite their attentions, to purify them of their childless condition.
That's how you purify someone, is it?
Yes.
I say.
So, now, all this was done before the women were paired off with equally unclad males for a spot of what is best described as massed horizontal jogging.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, I skirted that one quickly. So the Lupercalia was bowdlerized by the early Christians, who made it Valentine's Day. There was no Saint Valentine. So they took over this rather raunchy festival and made it sort of a festival of more chaste love, which is mercifully now marked by the altogether less exhausting exchange of cards and love tokens. Just take a rose love and go home. Right.
Horizontal jogging is optional, yes.
Absolutely, yes. Now, March is named, and I think most people know it's named after the god of Mars, But he's now perceived by most as just simply being God of War and that alone. But he was first and foremost the Roman god of agriculture, because the Roman agricultural year came to a formal close on the 19th October, which was marked by a festival called the Armalustrum, which is when all the implements and trappings of farming were cleansed, sharpened, put away in silos and storage until the 15th of March following year, which was when the planting season came round again. Now wars as well for Rome. That was, sorry lads, it's October. The war's on hold, because it followed the same of the agricultural season as well, because it was just too wet and muddy for farming or fighting. So with the weapons joining the farming implements in the same festival of the Armalustrum, Mars sort of slipped sideways to take on a secondary role as the god of war. But he was initially just god of farming.
How funny.
Now, April takes its name from the Latin apiere, meaning to open, but no one's actually sure if this refers to the plants and buds opening at such time of year, or for the fact that the Roman year turned on the cusp of March-April. So April was the beginning of the new year, the opening of the new year. So which it was, no one's sure. Now, until the 16th century, our own UK and most of Europe, actually, it started April, until the months were shunted round by that aforementioned Gregorian calendar in 1582. Now, after that changeover, rural folk just stuck to the old calendar, which they saw as perfectly natural, perfectly normal, because it was linked to the cycle of life of the year. The year, you know, sensible to have the new year starting April. But this was mocked by city folk, who marked the old new turning of the new year with silly pranks and joke presents, which eventually evolved into April Fool's Day. Now, on a more serious note, you can play musical chairs with the months all you like, but the animals will carry on breeding at the same time of year, and the crops will still follow the seasons. So there's no point in landlords standing around screaming for rents and taxes before that happens. So with 90% of the nation's wealth linked to agriculture and livestock in one way, shape or another, the financial year stayed pegged to April. That's why it's still there today, because that was it. You know, that was a new natural cycle year. Now then, May and June.
Before we move on to May and June, I have to say, so when you're saying about the year used to start March and April, presumably that will be why anyone who knows a little bit about astrology, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac.
Right.
Which is March and April.
Yes. And
that would be why then.
13 zodiacal signs.
Oh, I don't know. I've only ever known of 12.
Didn't the serpent or something get lost when they started shunting the calendar around? I think there were 13.
Interesting.
Because when the moon was... when they followed a more lunar year, there were 13 zodiacal signs. And I think...
Okay.
I can't remember what it was called. But it was marked by the serpent.
Oh.
And that was... they went to solar years.
Okay, well, it would explain, wouldn't it, that why Aries being the first sign of the zodiac is in March and April, and the first sign of the zodiac isn't Capricorn, which is January, it's March and April, so that links to that, doesn't it?
It does, and that had never actually occurred to me. Bingo. Mm. Hey, thank you.
We're learning together. So, you're going to move on to May and June.
Oh, sorry, yeah. May and June, named after the goddesses Maya Fertility and Juno Marriage. With July was named to honour Julius Caesar, who incidentally he was never an emperor of Rome; he was dictator. But because the Roman Empire wasn't founded until after he'd shuffled off the old mortal coil, anyway, after he was awarded that month, he was a bit miffed that some of the other months had more days than his sort of nominal month. So he pinched a day from February. Along comes the first Roman emperor, Octavian, who opted to take the name of Augustus. And for the same reason, he grabbed the next month to July, obviously August. But he, again, July's got more days than my month. So he, again, nicked 2 days from February to even up the score. All of which explains why February stands a bit short in the day department.
Funny.
So, yeah, it's just those petulant Roman emperors. Oh, I want another day. and, of course, we've covered the 8, 9, 10... 11, 12 sort of misconception on the month names. Now, with the name December based on decem 10, because of course it used to be the 10th month of the Roman year, that name is linked to the words like dicker, dixie, and decimate. And with the last of which, decimate, does not mean the complete, doesn't mean wholesale slaughter or whatever. But first, look at dicker. In the days before formal currency, all business was conducted by barter. And as you can imagine, there was a lot of arguing about the relative value of the lots on up for exchange. Sort of, you know, are those 10 sheep worth the same as this bull or whatever? So based on the Latin decem or decum 10, a deca or a dicker was a group of 10, which was a standard bartering unit. So dicker came to mean chopping and changing, arguing this way and that, and messing about. And that, actually, a lot of those old bartering units evolved into the standard currencies of many nations. In ancient Greece, for example, which was pretty warlike, a handful of arrows was the main bartering, or its value was the main bartering unit. So from the Greek drachma, D-R-A-K-H-M-E, which meant a handful, later Greece got the drachma, D-R-A-C-H-M-A, as its national currency. Just meant a handful of arrows. So, now, Dixie, referring to the southern states of the United States of America, it's a national assumption, actually, that this is a nod to the Mason-Dixon line, which in turn is popularly perceived as a dividing line between the north and south of the American states. But that line was privately commissioned by the Penns of Pennsylvania and the equally land-rich Calverts of Maryland, who wanted to have established for once and all where is the exact position of the boundary between our two states. Now, as for it being a division between the north and the south, it only ran for about 260 miles, and it was established in the 1760s, which is over a century before anyone started talking of the South being Dixie or Dixieland. However, in the 1850s, the United States was plagued by forged currency, paper currency, you know, bills, which prompted the Citizens Bank and Trust Company of New Orleans to issue a $10 bill for use in business circles. Now, these notes were printed in a mixture of French and English, and on a highly distinctive, we'll use the word paper, but it was it contained a very high level of long staple cotton. So if you were being handed a note, you could tell one of these notes, even if your eyes shut, by just the feel. Now, with such notes pretty much forgery-proof, they spread way beyond New Orleans, and with their proclaiming D-I-X, the French for 10, on the back, which is another term based on the Latin decum, they were generally known as Dixies, these notes. And that term spread from the banknotes to New Orleans itself, and then on to the home state of Louisiana, and finally to the South in general. Now, going back, finally, as for decimate, although this is invariably used to mean mass destruction, slaughter, or whatever, its original proper meaning is to kill one-tenth only. Not much comfort for those who are in that selected quota, but there you are. Now, back in ancient Rome, if a legion showed disobedience, cowardice, mutiny, whatever in the field, the entire battalion or whatever you want to call it, legion, were lined up with officers moving down the line with a big sword going 7, 8, 9, stab, One, two, three. So, as brutal as it was, 90% survived. Decimating only killed one tenth.
Right. Still
so
brutal,
mean,
though.
One, two, three. I'll give you 6 sesterces if you swap places with me.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So, sticking with the Roman army a little bit longer.
Yeah. In the event of their securing a victory, they'd gather up all the discarded weapons from the defeated army and use them to build a monument to the point at which they saw the battle as turning in the Roman favour. So the original trophy, as based on the Latin trope, a turning, So that was the original trophy. It was a pile of weapons. So it's the word you see in the Tropic of Cancer, the Tropic of Capricorn, which turn about the world, and of course the heliotrope, a flower that turns to follow the sun. So it just trophy meant the point at which the battle turned. Now then, despite what you see in the movies, the Roman army never had a uniform of any kind. So all the epics showing hundreds of Roman squaddies parading about in matching armour and over crimson tunics, it's just pure hokum. The Roman squaddy wore basically whatever clothes he had and such armour as he could afford, which was usually made of stiffened leather. But most did actually opt for a helmet. As a sort of PPE, if you like, with these being secured to the head by leather chin strap with a fixing that comprised a metal ring with a spike that laid against the wearer's cheek. That's how a Roman squaddy's helmet was secured to his head. Now, the Latin for a cheek was, and is, or whatever, bucca, hence buckle. The buckle on your belt, because it was the fixing that lay against his cheek. Now, buckle, of course, can describe anything collapsing or curving into a cheek-like swelling or profile. So it also gave name to Buckingham, which stands on a pronounced bend or curve in the river up the Thames. So from the Roman squaddy's helmet, you get buckle and Buckingham.
Brilliant.
And, of course, Buckingham Palace.
Yes. Oh, I've learned an awful lot today. Thank you so much, Graham. It's brilliant.
I didn't realise that about the...
The zodiacal signs. Zodiac. Because I've always wondered that. I've always thought, why does the zodiac year start with Aries, which goes across March to April, as opposed to starting in Capricorn, which is January.
Romans.
Yeah, exactly. So there we are. Brilliant. Where can people grab one of your books from, Graham? What was your latest book out?
Just have a quick leap onto
Amazon.
Amazon or whatever. Other book sales are available. look at Graeme, G-R-A-E-M-E, and Donald like the duck. And away you go. I must stop saying that, because I have to clarify my name for some people when they're sending out some literature to. I've ended up as Mr. G. Duck on mailing
list. Oh, no!
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, thank you, God.
Well, Mr. Duck, always a pleasure, and we look forward to chatting with you again next month.
You will. Yeah, regards to Wendy.
Will do.
You guys look after yourselves.
Thanks so much, Graham, and you. Take care.
Bye.